Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 41. Isaiah 41. Good to have all our visitors and guests in the building this morning. Thank you so very much for being here. It's a blessing. And I enjoyed our latest harvest sale last night. If you got to come, I knew that you had a good time. It was just a good time together. You please keep Miss Regina in your prayers. She's feeling up to come in this morning. The Lord willing, she'll be back in the service tonight. You pray for April, and Brother Brad mentioned Miss April. She's recovering from her surgery. And also pray for Brad. Amen. It's a lot on daddies and husbands, I'll just tell you. And you know that. But you pray for Brad and thank the Lord for him and all that he's doing. And God's blessing him. And he blessed us so much through Brother Brad, hadn't he? I thank God for his family being here and a great man of God. I love him. And praise God for him. He has a heart for this church. He loves you and wants to be a blessing and has been and is. And I praise God for Brother Brad. And I mentioned those two, Regina and April, but also pray for Kay Allen. She'll have some surgical procedures on Thursday. And so if you will, remember her in prayer. And also I wanted to mention to you, Brother Mickey Dudley's mother, they've just now taken her to the hospital a few minutes ago. So please remember to pray for her, Mickey's mom, and she's not doing well at all. I got word this morning, Peggy Langdon called, and A.G. Walls went home to be with the Lord. Now, some of you may know Randy Walls, who was just up at Friendship a couple years ago, and A.G., as his daddy, was a pastor evangelist for the last several years, and Brother A.G. went home to be with the Lord this week. His funeral will be on Monday, so you remember to pray for him, and one of my friends from days gone by. And I talked to some other folks that seem like all my friends are getting old. I don't understand that, but A.G. just beat us to heaven. Amen. That's what it means when you leave here if you know the Lord. But if I was here this morning, I didn't know I was going to go, I'd be scared to death because Jesus is coming soon. You say, well, I'm going to wait around like Brother LaVon's friend did. When I get in intensive care, when I get on my back, I'll call. If Jesus comes right now, you're lost. You won't have a chance. You're through. It's over with for you. And if I was here this morning not saved, I'd want to get saved for this service is over with. Get in this altar and give your heart to the Lord. Well, you open your Bibles. You have your Bible open, please, to Isaiah 41. Also, let me give you an invitation while you're turning, if you have it open. Brother, the wild man of Burnell called. And they are dedicating their Christian Life Center over at Burnell Baptist Church. It's a full-size gym with offices and everything else. They've got it all built. And they have dedication services this afternoon from 2 to 5. And they want to invite all of our church to go over and see the building and thank the Lord for what he's done over there. And I appreciate Brother Jesse. He's a good man of God. If you have been here, and of course I've been out of pocket, I have prayed for a long time and talked to some of the church about a sabbatical. I really felt like I needed a sabbatical. That is, take a month or so and just take off. Just go get along with the Lord somewhere. God hadn't seen fit to do that, but he has given me about a month of revivals in a row. And you pray as God blesses and those meetings. I thank the Lord for that. And you've been very prayerful for me. And I appreciate you keep doing that. Ask God's blessing. But we have been dealing with the book of Isaiah. Last week, I didn't feel led to go back to Isaiah, but I want you to understand Isaiah is one of those great prophets. He prophesied primarily in the southern kingdom. You know, there were 12 tribes. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he had 12 sons, and those sons became what we call the 12 tribes of Israel. And they populated the promised land. God brought them into this land he promised to Abraham, and they lived in the land. And God said, if you'll obey me and hear my voice and do what I've told you to do, you can live and prosper, and I'll bless you in the land. But if you turn from me, if you get fat and forget about me, and if you begin to just turn to idols, he said, I'll expel you from the land. I'll bring chastening and judgment on you. God kept his word. The 10 tribes to the north turned quickly into idolatry, and he sent the Assyrian army, and they were taken into captivity. They lost their possessions, lost their land, their children, their grandchildren grew up in slavery. And you don't think sin will cost you something, mom and dad? It'll cost your children, it'll cost your grandchildren. When you disobey God, your children who are supposed to be living a good life in a Christian home and have everything, these kids grew up in a strange foreign land. They didn't have what every other kid had. They grew up in slavery because of mom and daddy's sin. And we've got a bunch of kids in our nation right now. We point fingers at them and talk about them. But what they are is what mom and dad were. And what's happening now is a result of generations who've took their eyes off the Lord and turned to the things of the world and made the dollar their God. Instead of the dollar and pleasure of their God instead of serving Jesus. I'll tell you something. We need revival in this land desperately. We need it. We need revival. And I pray God to move on our hearts. But Isaiah is a prophet in the southern kingdom, and they remained faithful to God for a few years. But in spite of the pleading of the preacher and all other prophets, they too slipped off into idolatry, and they were taken captive by the Babylonian Empire, which raised up and defeated the Assyrians and took them captive. So now every one of them's in captivity. Exiled from the land. And now on the horizon, there's another world power rising. It's the Persian Empire that's rising. When you come to chapter 41, Isaiah has a word starting in chapter 40 to the end of hope and promise. Now, you're living in dark days. I don't care what your political affiliation is. You're living in dark days politically. You're living in dark days morally. And the nation you're living in now was not the nation I was born in 63 years ago. It's different, vastly different. Those of you in this building who believe this Bible, who believe Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, who believe in the blood atonement, who believe in the premillennial return of our Lord and the rapture of the church, are in a very small minority in this nation. Here we are. I love football. My wife don't like football. But last night I watched three or four games at one time, flipping back and forth. And as I was going back and through, I saw the president addressing a convention of gay and lesbians. I listened to it as long as I could stand it, which was about 38 seconds, as best I can figure. You look at your news and see what he said last night. Prior to that, he spent time in the UN talking about our nation. I'm not political. I'm just telling you where we are. This pastor I'm reading to you talks about kings. Could have said presidents. Talked about rulers. Could have said presidents. And in all, this idea of separation of church and state has got blown slam out of the water. The Constitution says that the government shall make no laws regarding religion. They are not to limit our religious teaching and evangelizing and our religious worship. Does not mean that we cannot speak out. When something's wrong, it's wrong. And you and I have that moral and spiritual requirement to do that. I'm just trying to tell you, you're living in a world that's coming to an end. And America's part of that end. And I'm just saying you need to be ready. But when you look at these days you're living in, fearful days, dark days, how can you live a positive, excited, full of the power of God Christian life? I want to preach to you on faith in fearful times. And look at our text in chapter 41. And listen to what he says. He says, keep silent before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? Who gave him as the dust of his sword, and as a driven stubble to his bow? He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he hath not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? The Lord, the first and and with the last, I am he. The owl saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote with the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved. But thou, O Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Now remember, they are in exile, but he said, I've not cast you away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there's none, and their tongue fail for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them, and I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittim tree and the myrtle and the olive tree. And I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. They may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring forth and show us what happened. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed or behold it together. Behold, ye are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. With the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon the princes as upon mortar, and the potter treadeth the clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there's none that showeth. Yea, that there's none that declare. Yea, there's none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I asked of them, they could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to help me right now. God, help me, Lord, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, to speak clearly your word. Our Father, we stand and sit today between heaven and hell. We face eternity. And there's a God who fashioned this world, who created the endless expanse of stars and planets. God, you're the God of this world. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now would speak to the heart of men, women, boys, and girls. First of all, I pray, Father, that God, if there's a person here who does not know God and the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I ask the Holy Ghost of God to convict them as you did Brother LaVon's friend. Bring them to a place where they say, I know what I need. I need the Lord. And I pray, God, they'd find that need satisfied and they could say, tomorrow's going to be all right. It's going to be a good day because I know Jesus. And Father, I pray, God, for every saint of God, that God, you'd set a fire burning in our bones for the things of God and for the Word of God. And God, in these last days, grant that with all boldness we might preach thy word, that God's people, men and women, might be witnesses of the grace of God, that we might rescue the perishing and care for the dying. And God, send revival in these days. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. He mentions in this passage of Scripture three different times to Israel. He said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Fear not. He mentions in here that the surrounding areas are fearful and afraid. And so what's going on, I mean, it's just been national upheaval. The Assyrians come and take the northern kingdom into captivity. The Babylonians defeat them and come and take the southern kingdom into captivity. And then now we see another a world power rising, the Persians. They will defeat the Babylonians. They will be world dominant. And what's going to become of this? And it's almost like Israel says, oh, no. Not again. What's going to happen now? It's one thing after another, one thing after another. And I don't know about you, but I feel that same way when I get up sometime in the morning. What now? I mean, what in the world else can happen? What else can be said or done in the media? What else can be done through our political leaders today that would be something that was contrary to the Word of God? Almost what else is coming? What about the rise of all the nuclear armaments in the Middle East and the conflict over Israel? What about all those things? Well, let me just say to you, my dear friend, here in this passage of Scripture is the remedy. And here is the thing, and I'll give it to you just as quickly as God will allow me to. I want you to notice, how in the world can you have faith in fearful time? Number one, and you write these down, write them down quickly. Number one, notice what it says in this chapter 41. There is a call for calm. There's a call for calm. You're in a day when people are just agitated. I mean, there's so many things. They don't know which way to go with their finances. This year, through the ministry of the Highway Shepherd, I have talked personally on the phone with three different drivers who were about to commit suicide and were at that point, had planned to do it and didn't know what to do. And God spoke to their heart through one of the CDs. And I was able on the phone to lead them to Christ. Why? Because they're in a desperate situation. And man, listen, if there's ever been a time when you and I have an open door for evangelism, if there's ever been a time when people understand that they have no security in their retirements, they have no security in their job, they have no security in their government, and there's only one source, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, God's give us a chance to tell them the truth and to preach the gospel. But there's a call here for calm. Watch what he says. He says, keep silent. Keep silent. Keep silent before me, O islands. And when he speaks of islands, he's talking about mankind. He's talking about the human race. Now, when he says keep silent, it's not like a brash statement. Shut up. That's not what he said. He didn't say shut up. He said, keep silent. It has this implication in the Hebrew text. It means to listen attentively. Now, you can't hear and you can't receive anything as long as you're panicking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? He said, just calm down a minute. I want you to listen. Keep silent. Listen intently to what I'm about to say to you. And you're talking about something that'll set your feet on a solid rock. You're talking about something to help you get a right perspective of what we're living in right now. You've got to get silent. Notice what he said. There's a call for calm. Keep silent. Listen intently. But not only is in this calm a call, is there that command to keep silent, but he says this, come near. Come near. Come here, I want to tell you something. That's what he's saying. He said, just calm down a minute. Don't go panicking. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I want you just to be still a minute and listen intently and come near to me. I want you to come close to me. Here's the steps. There's a call for this calm. Come near in judgment. Now that word judgment there does not mean condemnation. It means evaluation. It means explanation. I'm going to give my judgment on this. I'm going to give my ruling on this. He said, I want you to hear what I've got to say about what's going on in the world. Now, I get all bent out of shape. I'm human. I get aggravated. But the truth be known, the Holy Ghost of God put our president where he's at. Amen. Just as sure as I'm standing here. Sure he did. And he has to say to me, just calm down and listen. I want you to understand something. Here's judgment. Here's the honest evaluation. Understand what's going on. Sit still. And he said, if you'll be calm and you'll come near to me, he said, two things that happen. One, he said, you'll renew your strength. Look at verse 1. Come near. He said, let this people keep silent. Let the people renew their strength. That has to do with the get up and get out of here. Some people, just the point, I preach these revivals, and there's some folks that think, praise God, we're in the last days. God's going to bless us. God's going to know if we're going to see things happen. And there's some who say, oh, Lord, have mercy. We're in the last day. Ain't nobody going to get saved. Ain't nothing going to happen. Now, watch this. Over here where they're saying, thank God, God's able. God's on the throne. God can do it. We got an open door. Those churches are thriving and growing. And over here where they're saying, oh, God, well, we're in a mess. We just might as well find a place to hold on until this thing is over with. They're not doing anything but dying. Why? Because they haven't got calm. They haven't sought Him. They haven't listened to what He's got to say. And they have not judged. They have not evaluated according to God's evaluation of it. Come near in judgment. He said, I want to just explain some things to you. I want to explain to you how this works. Listen to what He says. He said, and then when you do that, He said, let them come near, then let them speak. He said, you get it all straight, then you'll have something to say. Not only is there a call for calm, but he wants us to consider the evidence. And here it is quickly. Now, I know it's running late, but just hang on. You need to hear this. What about, here's, all right, get still, get calm, and listen. And he said, here's what I want you to, view the evidence. Write these down. Number one, answer this question. Who's in charge? That's what he said. Let's figure this out. Verse two, who raised up the righteous man from the east? Who called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, made him rule over kings? Who gave them as the dust of his sword and driven the stubble before his bow? He said, who do you think is raising King Cyrus up? He wants to know. He wants you to answer this question. Honestly now, understand, and I have to do this myself. I thought it was all the Democrats, excuse me. But that was political, and I didn't mean to say that. Who's in control? He wants you to know. He wants you to just honestly understand it. Who's in charge after all? Who is it? He is. He said, who's the one? Look at it. Who hath wrought and done it and called the generation from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I'm He. Who's in control? Just calm down. Well, I got this and I got that and all this going on. Wait a minute. Time out. Who's in control? Faith for fearful times. I am in control. He has not relinquished. He is not even worried about what's going on. He is in control. He knows what's in Iran. He knows what's in the mountains of Afghanistan. He knows all of that. He knows what's going on in Washington. He is in control of everything. He said, understand who's in control. But second thing is this. Consider this evidence. Not only who is in charge, but whose are you? Look at verse number 8. But thou Israel art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. You need to establish this right now today. Who's in charge? He is. And who do you belong to? Now, if you can't answer that in the positive that you belong to him, you ought to be afraid. You ought to be afraid. Matter of fact, he said in the New Testament, don't you fear men who can kill the body, but you better fear him who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell for all eternity. Whose are you? And if you can say beyond any shadow of a doubt, I'm a child of the King. Thank God I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I belong to him. And he says to Israel, oh, they're down here. We're in a mess. We're some of them are up in the area that was Assyrian. Some are in Babylon. Now here come the Persians. What in the world are we going to do? He said, just understand this. It really doesn't matter where you are economically. It doesn't matter where you are geographically. It matters where you are in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Where are you in Christ? That's what makes a difference. Doesn't mean if you live where you live in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina, wherever. It doesn't mean if you're bound or free. It doesn't matter where you are. It means whose you are that makes the difference. He said, you're mine. I want you to understand something. You belong to me, who you are. But then understand the third question. Considering the evidence, not only who's in charge and whose are we, but understand this. Who is our helper? Who are we looking to? I get all kind of letters, and I get all kind of mail. For people who want me to help, they feel like I am of a certain political persuasion. They even call me personally. They ever call y'all all the time. Call me at 5 o'clock every night when I'm getting ready to eat supper or whatever. Because my gift is important. But the truth of the matter is, I really don't think they're my helpers. I really don't have much confidence in that. Who is your helper? Who are you depending on? Who are you looking at? Notice what verse 10 says. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look at verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Look down at verse number 14 while you're there. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Who's our helper? Praise God. He is. God is our helper. We know him. We trusted him. Now, notice he says he'll help us with his presence. I'll be with you. He'll help us with his power. He said, I will hold thee by the right hand. He'll keep us in his protection. In verse 11, he says, behold, all they that are incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing, and they shall strive with thee. They that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them. Even them that contend with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. He said, I'm your protection. I'm going to take care of you. While you say, well, now they're in a mess. He wants them to understand that. You disobeyed me. What did I tell you? Now, what did I tell you? Mama used to tell me, he said, if you do this, I'm going to whip you. I'm going to whip you. And then she'd come in there with a switch and she'd ask me a question. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you I was going to whip you? And then she'd say, do you want a whipping? I said, yes, ma'am. I got up this morning. I thought, I want me a whipping today. I didn't do that. But I knew the circumstance. I knew what I'd done was wrong. Mama had told me she was going to whip me, but I knew she still loved me. Also knew it didn't matter how I answered that question. It didn't make a bit of difference. I knew who was in charge. And I knew she was my helper. I knew she loved me. Oh, yeah, Israel the northern tribes in captivity in the land that was called Assyria, and the southern tribes in captivity in what's called Babylon. But they're still His. And you can count on it. You disobey God, God's going to chasten you. You're still His, though. If you're saved, you're still His. And He said, I'm going to protect you. But, oh, my dear friend, look at verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, men of Israel, I will help thee. He said, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, not only through His presence and not only through His power, not only through His protection, but through His pardon. I am glad that He's my Redeemer. All of our problems are sin problems, but He's our Redeemer. He's the one who buys us back out of sin. He's the one who gives us that eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He makes some precious promises to us. Look at verse number 15. He said, I'll make you like a sharp sword, like a sharp threshing instrument. And He said that you'll have victory. And He said, you shall rejoice. Verse 16, you'll rejoice in the Lord. Now, some of you are sitting in a place right now where you don't think you'll ever rejoice again. Financial pressures have just beat you down. Family pressures have beat you down. Physical problems have got you beat down. I want you to understand this. Remember who's in charge. Remember who you are, who you belong to. Remember who your helper is. And He makes this promise. He said, you're going to get the victory. You're going to come through this. And there'll be a day that you're going to rejoice. Woo. Now, I'm a rejoicing today. But a few months ago, I wasn't rejoicing. I'm going through some battles. But if you'll just calm down long enough to realize who you are, realize who's in charge, realize who your helper is, and listen to His promises, you're going to have the victory. You can be like old Job. Job buried his boys, buried his girls, all of his business destroyed, lost his health from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, sitting on a pile of ashes, lost everything he had. Sat there and scratching himself with a piece of ash. And his wife said, you're a foolish man. You ought to curse God and die. Old Job said this, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Oh, listen. Disease had his body. Death had his children. But none of it had His spirit. I'm still His. I know who's in control. Thank God I'm going out of here. I'm a winner anyway. And there's a day coming when I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. Now, some of us, God allows us, I believe, to rejoice here from time to time. But, honey, there's coming a day when you can say, I told you so. Praise God. I mean, it's over with, thank God. We're on the winning side. Remember this, that when Noah and his family went in that ark, they were in the minority. But praise God, when they come out, they were the majority. They were all that was left. The day's coming, He said, that you won't even be able to find your enemies. They won't even be there no more. They'll be gone. Hallelujah for that. And thank God for that. Notice this. Notice He said this. Who's your helper? That'll help you have faith in these last days. I'm through. And then He said this. Who declares and dictates the future? Who is it? And He goes through this whole thing, beginning at verse number 21. And He said, let them come forth now and show you the former things. And let them show you the things in the future. Let them prophesy and let them tell you all these things. He said, you know what you'll find out? He said, you'll find out, behold, verse 24, that ye are nothing and your works are naught. They're none to them. And He goes on, He says this. He said, when you come down to the end of it, He said, there's not a man that knows the future, none to be a counselor. There's none that can answer a word. There's only one person who declares and knows the future and who dictates and controls the future. That's Him. It's Him. Now, if I didn't have the book of Revelation, I would be worried a little bit right now. But can I tell you, I know exactly what's fixing to happen. The Lord Himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be called up together to meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This world's going to be plunged into great tribulation period. Antichrist is going to come on the rise. And I'll tell you one thing. If we hadn't seen the evidence that this world is ready for the Antichrist, the Bible says when they say, peace, peace. Did y'all hear that? Peace, peace. Then sudden destruction comes upon them. I know that's going to happen. That's going to happen. That is going to happen. Let them keep on. Praise God. Give out all the awards they want to. Talk about all the peace they want to. But I'm going to tell you one thing. This world is headed for hell on earth in the tribulation period. But we're heading for the marriage supper of the Lamb and the glory on the other side. Thank God for it. And listen, after 7 years of tribulation on this earth, I saw heaven open. He sitting on a white horse came back. And his name written on his thigh was this: Faithful. Thank God he's faithful, Miss Judy. Thank God. Listen, you're living in a faithless and a fearful society. But the one who is in control of this thing is called faithful. He's going to keep his word. He's going to keep his promises. You're heading out of here if you know him. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Listen, there's faith for times of fearful times like this. Because we know what the Bible said. Thank God we're leaving out of here. Listen, he'll come back and the word will come out of his mouth like a sword. And he'll smite them down. Blood will flow to the horse's bridle. He'll rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And then, praise God, there'll be a new heaven and new earth, and you and I'll be right in the middle of it. We know him as Savior and Lord for all eternity to rejoice around the throne of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God. There is faith for fearful times, and it's in the one who's in control. That's not a fairy tale. That's not made up. Listen, that's not some religious view. That is the eternal view of the eternal God who's made that promise to him who will believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for everybody that's here. Will you stand with me for prayer? With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you one simple question. Whose are you? If you cannot say beyond any shadow of a doubt this morning, I belong to him. If you cannot say this morning that he's my Redeemer, he is my God, he holds me by the right hand, and I'm trusting him, I might be living in a tent somewhere. I might have lost my home. I might have lost my job. I might have had great tragedy in my family, everything. But I know one thing. He's in control. And I'm his. And he's made a promise. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's going to be with me through it all. And the time's coming that the rivers will flow in the desert places. There's coming a time there will be blooms and glory. There will be a time when I'll rejoice in his glory. Hallelujah for that. That day's coming, friend. That day's coming. And I want you to be a part of it.